third quarter 2013 financial report from the auditor.
All right, thank you. Mark Gasway, Clark County Finance Director. I'm here with Tom Scullion, our Senior Financial Analyst and our Management Analyst. And we are going to present the third quarter financial report. We're going to start in our usual format. I'm going to turn some time over to Tom, and he's going to go through the first part of the report. We do have reports available for you, and at any time, we are welcome to go through those with you individually. We have just enough time to go through some of the highlights today, and then we have other things that we want to move on to, so hopefully we can get through this in the first half of the hour we have. So turn the time over to Tom for that.
So basically, the program is going to be pretty much the same as the quarterly reports we've done in the past. We're going to go over some leading indicators, talk about how retail sales have done, and then Mark will discuss some of the fund information that we have available. So initially, what we're looking at is building permits are doing better. They've increased year over year. There's several about actually in for the year ending September of 2013, there were about 860. And we split in the report. We divided the building permits between residential and commercial. So the residential permits were about 867 for the year ending versus 515 for 2012. Year ending September. Commercial permits were about 309 versus 264. So they're up a nice percentage. Current activity is kind of flat, basically, for quarter to quarter. They're basically, it's like commercial, it was 86 in the second quarter, it was 81 in the third quarter. So we're just kind of moving along. And just as a reference point, if you go back to 2005, for the year ending 2013-09, we had a total of 1,176 permits, both residential and commercial. Back in 2005, for the same period, we had 2,740. So, but we are making progress. We are recovering a bit. On the retail sales, the year-to-date tax revenues are up over 2012. They're doing fairly well. We'll have a graph a little bit later that shows that unincorporated has had a nice bump in the current quarter.
Does your graph show the percentage that's based on sales based on new construction?
No, it does not.
Okay. Because the percentage of sales tax based on new construction, I'm always interested in as we recover.
Well,
it used to be 38, and a stable level is about 23. And
right. Right now, for the current quarter, it's 25.5.
Okay.
So and which is a little bit higher than the previous quarter. That gets over that one too. Home sales are up a bit. They're a little bit above a moving average. There was about 6,600 units compared to a moving average for the last year or so is about 6,400. So they're doing fairly well. Construction we just talked about as a percentage. It was up over, I think it was about 22.5 the previous quarter, and it's 25.5 this quarter.
And most of the last year it was around 20. So you can see that year to year we're continuing to show improvement. So.
Right, and a year ago at this time it was 19. So it's going up rather nicely. Median home sales price has been increasing pretty much on a monthly basis. It's up 12% in the last year to 228,000. So that's kind of nice. Unemployment, there was this pesky federal furlough thing, so we don't have September numbers. But the August rate was, the preliminary rate for August was 8.3%, which is, it's lower than the previous quarter, which was 9.9, but the previous quarter is adjusted. What we run into is generally the numbers from Oregon get revised on Washington citizens working in Oregon, and historically it's been about 1.25%. So that's what our Employment Security Division used to adjust for that, but the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the feds told them not to. So now we just have to report the preliminary numbers as given, and then they're revised usually about a month later. So like I said, August preliminary is 8.3, probably go up to around 9.5, which is still lower than the 9.9 from the previous quarter. So we're making a little bit of progress. Land use review permits, revenue and the number of permits being processed have been up quite a bit. So, or a little bit. Check my, well, revenue is up about 30%. The number of permits is up around, somewhere around 50%. So that's doing a little bit better. This is through August, county unemployment compared to the state. So what we have done is, the red line is Washington, which includes Seattle, which Seattle is about the lowest rate in the state. They're somewhere just about 5.25%. So the green line, we removed Seattle, and we're not that far off in terms of, we're at 8.3, I think, without Seattle. The rest of the state is around 7.6.
Some place in the state it must be higher unemployment than what we have.
There is. There's several counties that have higher unemployment.
As you go further east,
yeah,
you start to see higher unemployment.
Smaller counties?
Generally, yes.
But this number, what we do is look at it on a cumulative basis. So we don't average the counties. What we do is we look at the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're correct. As you go further east, there are some much higher unemployed, much counties with much higher unemployment.
Here's the growth in retail sales tax for the 12 months ending September in the 8 largest counties in the state. And as you can see, most everyone is doing fairly well. We're up around, well, it says 7%. And I think Pierce County is the only, Pierce and King, I think, are the only ones that have grown more than we have.
And just as a point of reference, when we put our budget together for this year, we budgeted about a 5% increase. So we're doing just a little bit better than our budget. And as Tom will show in a second, our actually unincorporated area is doing a little bit better than the county as a whole. So,
in the current 12-month period ending in September, unincorporated sales tax was. Sales tax receipts were up 8.6%. Now, a big part of that jump is a lot of the construction that's going on kind of at the north end of 205 there. We got Chucks, we got the 134th interchange, all that stuff. So that was a bit of a bump. And we have our sales tax recovery office, and that's part of the auditor's office.
Do we know how much sales tax we've gotten for the 139th interchange?
Not specifically.
We wouldn't record it that way. That's not. It doesn't come in for project like that. One of the things that's interesting.
It's like an $80 million just the state portion.
Right.
You know, 140 total.
Right. We could back into a number, I think. One of the interesting things, though, about we talked about construction and the increase in construction. A lot of what we've seen so far has come from heavy construction. It's been the demographic or the coding on it. Is from the
highways
and heavy construction projects, which has shown through the second quarter had shown quite a bump, and a lot of that is to do with what the county projects are doing, what the state projects are doing in the area. So we really haven't seen as much of an increase in the housing areas, which we're expecting to see in the third quarter as soon as that information is available. So.
It's just good to know, because that sales tax revenue from the highways of statewide significance, that stuff isn't going to maintain at that level.
No, it's project-based, that's right.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got to be just careful about trying to project that out and saying, hey, we're doing that level in the future, unless other things pick up the slack.
Exactly.
Correct. Moving on to how this translates into the general fund, it's very interesting. Every year we go through through the budgeting process, we look at revenues and try and forecast where our revenues are going to be. If you look at where our forecast is and where our revenues are coming in, it's very close. We've done a little bit better in some of the major revenues. Our sales tax is doing a little bit better. Our property tax is doing slightly better. But it's been just enough to offset some of the decreases that we've seen in other areas. The primary decreases are coming in from our fees and from our intergovernmental revenues. We're receiving less through other governments than we had originally budgeted. So on a whole, we're about where we expected to be, just a little bit of variation in how we're getting there. So the expenses, on the other hand, have come in, again, about where we expected. We are doing probably slightly better. We've shown about a 2% saving so far for the year on our expense side. And the result of those two things are our revenues being projected pretty much where we expected, our expenses coming in a little bit better than what we had budgeted. It looks like we'll be getting through this year, 2013, with a fairly even match between revenue and expenses. It doesn't look like we're going to have to use a lot of our unassigned fund balance to balance 2013. And I guess that's good news. That's a little bit better than what we had originally budgeted. And we'll talk about what that looks like, you know, going forward. Some of the things that we have and will be bringing to you in upcoming weeks shows a lot of pressure on the expense side without a lot of relief on the revenue side. We don't see the revenues being able to grow a whole lot. But the other major funds, as you're aware, community development, our building fund has been much more robust. Although we've seen increases in growth in both land use and building, historically it's still, you know, significantly below where the peaks were 4 or 5 years ago. So there's still room for growth in those areas. We have been able to maintain a positive fund balance in our community development fund, which has been good. We still have some commitments through the fee holiday that will come out of the general fund and we'll need to be putting in. We'll be doing that at the end of the year. So those commitments, which have been budgeted within the general fund, are not currently reflected. We do provide a graph where we, or a schedule where we do a pro forma, what it would look like, how those transfers have been made. That is in the quarterly report, so you can see what it would look like if everything was currently made to date. So the road fund, again, they have a healthy balance. However, I guess the good news of the report is that they've been spending down their balance. When you look at it compared to a year ago, it's down significantly, which means that they're getting more work out the door. They're getting some of those projects that they have been on that long-term plan either built or are in the process of building. So,
what is our current road fund balance
right now?
About?
I think it's around 18 million. Right now, at the end of the third quarter, it's at 15.8 million. With a commitment, we have 4.5 million in public work trust fund loans outstanding, which means we have the money in our fund balance, but we haven't spent that yet. So it's again, compared to a year ago, we were sitting at about 30 million. So we've been spending that down and been using that money in the projects that we have.
Great.
The health department, again, we bring that up just because it just kind of bounces along. We haven't seen a lot of change in their fund balance. They aren't growing, but they're not shrinking at this point either. So they've been very diligent in managing the matching the revenues with their expenses. So, and they don't have a significant fund balance. Their fund balance seems to stay right around $2 million, which is just sufficiently adequate so that they can operate on an ongoing basis and cover their expenses without having to, you know, go into lines of credit and things like that. So. Okay. Again, we'd like to bring this up just so that you have on the front of your mind, some of the things to be aware of. Development service permits, they're still low historically, but they're improving. And we still have to transfer our fee holiday, and we're projecting that right now to be about a $1.2 million transfer at the end of the year. So,
being that we have actually two fee holidays or fee waiver programs, there's the old one that ended in beginning part of June, and there's the new one. It would be good for us to be able to keep those broken down, because they both have very different outcomes. And expenses.
I think I saw Marty in here. Marty, I think we're tracking it that way now, right? We still track it that way. Okay. So we can determine that information for
you.
I don't track that, but Marty has that. I know the reports we get show that information.
And Marty, when are you going to have your report? You're going to have a work session like this?
We'll have a report probably by the 5th or 6th of November.
Great.
Monthly report in October. So we're going to split out projects prior to June of this year on one tab, mm-hmm. and then the second tab will be June 12th forward.
Great, thank you.
Okay. The Event Center, which used to be called the Fair Fund, it's called the Event Center Fund now, just so there's no confusion. I actually have some very good news to report. As you're aware, and as the fair has reported, they had a very good year. The 10-day fair continues to operate a profit. It's never been the issue with the 10-day fair. They've always been profitable or breaking even. This year, they were able to contribute to the other activities that are out at the fairgrounds, the exhibit hall and the horse arena and some of the other activities that are done out there. And right now, the position that they're in is significantly better than last year. Now, as you're aware, we transferred over $1 million to support past fund balance deficits that had incurred. However, right now they've been able to maintain the current fund balance without having to create a new deficit, which is good, which means that for the year, I'm optimistic that they'll be able to break even. We won't have to fund any additional balance. We did transfer over the $250,000 for operation. Even including the $250,000, they're still at a net positive position for the year. Compared to where they were at a year ago, the 2012, they were already at a $392,000 loss. So I think that's good news to report. I think we can look at that as progress. Some of that has to do with the improved economy and I'll be honest, the real improvement has come in how they've managed their expenses out there. The revenues have been very comparable to prior years. It's not a significant revenue, but their expense management has been much, much better. They've been able to find savings within how they're doing the operations out there, and that has contributed to the bottom line.
Okay.
The Exhibit Hall Reserve Fund, this was a fund that we wanted to bring to your attention, and we did in the budget process. In fact, in this year's budget, we had budgeted transfers to help support that fund. It is going to drop down to zero this year. However, we've made other arrangements now. We've been able to include the Exhibit Hall in the Capital Facilities Plan, which will allow us to support any shortfall through REIT funds. And our next item on the list is REIT funds, which continue to improve. They have improved much quicker than we had expected them to. Again, historically speaking, they're not anywhere near where they were years ago, but they've improved faster, which allows us some flexibility in how we're applying those funds. Before, we would bring to you forecasts of how do we sustain REIT through 2016 without having to go negative. Now that's not the issue that we're currently facing. We will be looking at this revenue source in connection with some of the other activities that we have. So we'll make sure that we're maintaining the proper fund balance in these areas and applying these funds where we can best use them.
Great. So, the REIT, real estate, real estate excise tax. That includes commercial, residential, property of every sort. Everything that sells out, resells out there, mm-hmm. and it comes from any kind of real estate. Great. Okay.
It used to be a little bit more predictable. Things in the county would turn over on average about every 7 years, so you could kind of forecast this out. Of course, with the economic recession, that didn't happen, so it extended that period. But again, the good news is that it's we try to be conservative when we project out into the future. The recovery of this fund, we were a little bit more conservative, a lot more conservative than 49%, but those are the kind of things that are good news, and we like to report results. Department of Community Services, as you're aware, we have a general fund line item budgeting to help support them as they go through the RSN transition, and that's still in there. That is transition that we'll, a transfer that we'll still be making this year and next. And then clean water.
Before you go with that, yeah.
Yeah, the RSN, we just looked at the budget 2 days ago, and the last amount of local funds providing the RSN, I understand, is supposed to be wrapped up by June of this coming year, and they're zero thereafter. Are we talking about the same
thing? No, this is different. This is the support of our community services. When the RSN departed, they were allocated a certain amount of overhead from the rest of the county services, and when they left, it left a hole.
Vacancy of
right.
The rent.
And so, well,
overhead.
Not overhead, yes.
Okay.
And so this is to help support them through that transition till we readjust the how the overhead allocation works, and so they can adjust within their own financials how they are able to disseminate that to their own programs. So, okay. Clean Water Fund, again, we're making progress there. We brought to you previously some concerns we have with transfers in the Clean Water Fund. We're working through that now. We will have, within the first couple weeks of November, a revised plan that will hopefully address those issues, at least the majority of the issues with the transfer. I don't want to steal anyone's thunder, but I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll be able to work through this and make sure we have the proper accounting side done within this year.
Great.
Well, we will have the proper accounting side done within this year. How we cover this will be, I'm optimistic that we'll be able to do it without significant impacts to the Clean Water Fund.
So. Great.
Okay. Summary, and I just want to go through a couple things, how this is written out. I guess the takeaways that we need to get at this point, you know, we're 3 months through the first year of the biennium, so, you know, where does that leave us? Right now, we're kind of at where we thought we would be. You know, if you look at the beginning of the year, we're about where we thought we would be with revenues. We're about where we thought we would be with expenses. It really gives us the opportunity to get through this first year of the biennium without having to draw down a significant amount of the unassigned fund balance. We are using some of the assigned fund balance that we projected to use for different projects as you know, the board directed. What that does is give us a fairly good start going into 14. The picture for 14 right now is not quite as optimistic simply because we don't see a lot of growth in revenues. Over the next couple of weeks, you're going to receive the budget's economic update, and we're going to talk a little bit more about revenues. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a budget finance team presentation that projects this out going forward, so you'll be receiving more information. So really, we're kind of holding right now, putting the information together of where we're going to be next year, and that leads us into the 15-16 budget. So the takeaway is we're not in great shape, we're not in bad shape, we're kind of where we thought we would be, and going forward we're going to have to be, you know, fairly judicious in how we allocate those resources, especially going into 14. We have a couple of new things we have to incorporate into our planning going forward. $1.6 million annually from the settlement is going to impact us. It's just not going to, any capacity that we would have going into the next year isn't going to be there because of that's going to take up a lot of that extra resources. So we're going to spend a lot of time planning how do we incorporate that, how do we maintain our service levels, how do we maintain our staffing, and try and impact those as best minimize the impact of those things. Okay. Any questions? Again, we're always available to, as you get a chance to look through the report.
Give it to us.
It's right here.
I know, they always hide it from us until they're done with the presentation.
So,
and you have an electronic version of that.
We have electronic. The electronic version will goes up on the website as soon as we're done with this meeting, so it'll be public information. So.
Excellent.
And are you, this is the day also that we're going to be releasing.
That's next.
That's next.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to steal your thunder. They didn't make it.
That's just the first half hour of the.
That's the first half hour.
Is all about transparency.
Right. Are you going to keep passing that?
Can we have those?
Slight pause.
Your names are on them, Sophie.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, we have special.
Oh, wow.
Are they different?
No, you always get your name. You always get your name on it. That way we know if we find one in the room who to return it to. There's just two things before we get to the transparency thing I want to bring up. 6 months ago in our quarterly report, we brought up the fund balance policy project. I've had a chance to meet with you individually. In a couple of weeks, we'll be combining with a budget office finance team presentation, and we'll be incorporating some of the details around the fund balance policy into that work session. And we'll be asking at that time to go forward and having that formally approved. So that will be coming up. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't leave that hanging out there. The other item that we've done, we have prepared and completed our annual trends report. Each of you have received a copy of that already. And after this meeting, it will also go up on the website for general public use. If you would like to go through that individually, we're more than available to, more than happy to go through that individually. Just, I guess, as a promotional kind of thing, we've significantly revised the format of that report, not only the format, but the appearance, as well as made changes within the trends that are in it itself. Eliminated several trends that weren't as relevant to the county. We've added a new trend to it. Kind of at a high level, you'll see that the appearance of it looks much more user-friendly, the way it's been. We've consolidated information on single pages, so I'd encourage you to look at it. In the summary, it shows that of the trends that we have included, 8 of those have improved, 17 have stayed the same, and only 3 have decreased. So there's some progress there. You know, only 2 years ago, everything was kind of flip-flopped. Everything was decreasing and not increasing. So, but I would like to acknowledge our office. There's a lot of work that goes in the preparation of this report. Sandy Hall has been coordinating that in our office and has done a great job. And I'm really proud of the way the new format that it looks like.
So right.
It'll be, I think, much more usable for those that don't talk finance all the time. So.
Yeah.
All right, now I know you're waiting for this, so I'm going to turn the time over to Tom Scolian, and he is going to walk us through the new transparency website that we're getting ready to unveil. So.
Is there a web address for that people can navigate?
ClarkCounty.wa.com. It'll be one of the websites right on the page. So.
.gov, you mean?
.gov, sorry, yeah.
Is there a slash that's simple to navigate to this?
This is, what I wanted to show you first is, this is basically the prototype that we showed you at the last quarterly report. And as you can see, it has some ability to search, it can download to Excel. You really don't have any ability to sort or filter the results. So it was kind of limited. What we've got now is a little bit different. This is kind of the page, the way it looks. It has not gone into production quite yet. It will soon. And so when it initially comes up, it has the most current payments listed, and you have the ability to filter it. The either by vendor to go by a date range or a keyword search. And so what I do is use, this is a little bit better view of it, so you can see how it comes up, and demonstrate it if you have a particular vendor or just want to do a keyword.
So this is participatory, Commissioner.
Yeah.
He's going to ask for your input and.
So basically, you don't have to. As you type, it reads what you're typing and just displays what the related information is. So these are my reimbursements. Or you can go if you have a particular vendor. If you could type. So this would basically be all of it. And now I can filter this by date, or I can put in a specific department. And get the information. I can also sort it. So sorting in the description isn't all that much, but that's okay. That's
Tom, can you change the number of
yes.
records per page?
You can change the number of records per page.
That's 25 if you can.
There
you go. So we can see that on that screen.
We actually included, and I'd like to give Susan Lamb some credit. He was the one that came up with this, and I think did a very nice job. It's basically also designed so it can be used on mobile devices also. That's why we can limit it to only 5 months. If you want to look at something on your iPhone, it's a little bit easier.
That's cool. So you can sort by amount.
Who spent all that money?
and you'll see why if you look at the description out.
Sure.
This is our payroll clearing account. So, okay, you can use date range, which is really if you're interested in knowing, you know, the amount that we're approving through consent agenda, you
right.
can match it up with the date ranges that are on the consent agenda? Except, okay.
It will not match the consent agenda because the consent agenda includes
agencies. That's right.
So this only includes payments that the county is actually responsible for. But the consent agenda has to include payments, all the payments that we issue, which does include agency payments. And rather than build, you know, information requests on agency payments, we decided to exclude.
That looks really good.
Mm-hmm. We got export for CSV, so you have a Comma Delimited or whatever.
Yeah, it's Comma Delimited.
And then Excel.
Right. Okay. So if you have a Mac, you could export the CSV file and import it into whatever.
And when you're exporting it, can you export? Are you, like, so if I give a range of payment dates and the range is what you have up there, is it just going to export that range?
It's going to export down at the bottom. You can see that there's several pages.
There's tons, yeah.
Yeah, so it will export all the data.
Can you export just just a specific search?
Yeah, sure. Yes.
That's the search that it exports.
That's what it's going to export. It's
whatever it returns.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm searching for a certain vendor, mm-hmm. and I just want to export just the information on that vendor,
right.
I can do that.
Yes.
Cool.
For whatever
it is. Otherwise, it'd be a huge cell file.
Exactly.
Yes, it would. And we have 5 years worth of data, actually 5 years plus the current year.
Right.
So
oh,
this
good.
Goes back to 2008.
Wow, that's great.
Very good. There is, well, for display purposes, we limit the display to 10,000 entries. Just because that's the optimum amount for the server to send to the application.
So, but of the other 346,000 entries, they're there somewhere.
Right.
So if I'm trying to sort by a vendor, it's not just going to search the 10,000 entries for that vendor.
No, it's
going to
search all 356,000, yes.
Okay. Is there a name for this?
This page?
This access, this portal, this not the address, but I mean, what do you call it?
If you go to the... This is the vendor payment. Why don't you go to the front page? Yeah, the checkbook. If you go to the front page that's been developed, you'll be able to see.
The vendor payment.
It's the vendor payment. And there's also a landing page as you come into the county website.
So this is all intranet so far.
Yes.
How close are you to actually putting this out on the web?
Very close.
We anticipate going into production within a couple of weeks.
We're hoping you could today.
We were hoping that too.
This is what the landing page looks like within the Clark County website.
This is the transparency page, which we also showed you at the last quarterly presentation. Yeah. And there will be a link on here to go directly to the vendor payment application.
Oh, that's great. So that's live.
Yeah. Yes, this is live.
And I like the address. It makes sense up there in the address bar.
So tell us about Sunshine. You and I talked about Sunshine Review. Actually, you were there as well, Mark. And we were talking about Sunshine Review because and one of the things that I really appreciate about what you do is you really help to market the good things that, you know, you're working to help market the good things the county's doing. Mark made a comment about how we are now, you know, in A-level, we are an A-level jurisdiction in Sunshine Review. And I tried to ask him, like, what the heck does that mean?
Sure.
Because the question was, well, how can we, not just this one activity, but all the things that we're doing to try to have better transparency in government, how can we, you know, kind of promote that work that is going on to help the, you know, the citizens know that, you know, what we're doing? And he told me about this, but you can explain.
So there's a Sunshine Review organization that is actually a nonprofit organization that goes and rates the information that's available. We were unknowingly actually rated at one point because of the information that we had. The ease and use of that information is one of the criteria. The types of information that are included on there, for example, we were deficient in a couple areas, and Tom, I think the two areas we were deficient in, one was our bids.
One was contracts.
And
one was lobbying information. The
lobbying information.
And we did not have a launch page like this.
Exactly.
Where we brought it all together. And this was very nicely done by Sarah and PIL.
Right. In fact, let's take a second now. I'd like to recognize not only Tom for this work, but Sarah Eckhart from PIO and Suvu from IT.
And Loanne also.
And Loanne. Is Loanne here?
No, she was not able to make it.
Okay,
great. Can we applaud?
Sure. If you'd like to. And so when we found this many months ago, this review, and we started working on this project, one of the things that we wanted to do was try and meet the requirements. So we've not only been looking at doing the checkbook, but we've been trying to incorporate these other elements as well, so that whenever they come back and raise, and we don't ask them to, they just do it, they can look and see, well, where's the progress that we've made initially, and it's been substantial. Just having a landing page like this where you can look, any citizen can go out and look now and see all this information on a single page and have it directly linked rather than have to search through the county website, is certainly makes things more transparent. And there's things that we can do to this as we, you know, we're very new in this process. We'll have new ideas, you know, new information, you know. We've talked about being able to put some of, you know, Marty's information up on how successful the fee waiver program has been, who's been receiving fee waivers. There's all kinds of information that we can continue to build this website with.
You were saying we are one of very few jurisdictions across the country that actually reaches that A level of transparency that this provides.
That's correct. I think there was only two or three. One was New York City, which has spent a lot of money on their website, and we've gone out and sampled some of these websites to see the good and the bad, and we, with the level of information that we're providing now, we're in that same category, and again haven't had to spend the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they've used or, you know, gone outside. We have, again, dedicated internal resources to it, but we are now probably providing, I would say, probably 99% of information these other websites are providing. So.
Which is a great message that
yeah.
It would be great to be able to actually get that out to our citizens.
Yes, very good. A couple of things. One, isn't there there's a federal kind of sunshine, transparency, open government organization, and there's a Washington State one, isn't there?
I don't know about the state one. I know of this is a nonprofit organization that we've been kind of using as a guideline.
Mm-hmm.
the Sunshine Review.
Yeah, I'm Citizens for Open Government.
Yeah, there is a
Citizens for New Government.
There is one,
and they may have different criteria and different standards.
I would think
I don't know if they do ratings or if they're just kind of.
They provide standards.
Yeah.
Yes, and recommendations. And so I would think that if we have ratings that are provided by these organizations, either the national or our own state, that we would add a link there so that we can actually get to and see what is it they, how do we compare, what. And also those that specialize in providing sunshine for our government.
Well, and now that we're at this point in the process, you know, we can invite those organizations before we, you know, didn't even know they were looking at it. But now we can invite them to come in and rate us and give us feedback.
Yep.
And let us know, you know, how we compare and what suggestions they would have, as well as what we're going to see from our own citizens and staff as well.
Yes.
Again, we're just starting into this process, and this isn't the end product. It will continue to evolve and grow as we have different and better ideas. So.
Yep. The other thing, a way for us to be able to actually get this popular and exposed and out there where people can get to it, this is a great landing page, but it's not on our homepage. It would be for us to be able to make sure that we have a very clear, easy to navigate link to that.
We have a link right on the homepage.
Where is that?
Right.
Right.
See it right there, Transparency Sunshine Review.
Yeah, I'm thinking of somehow icon out. If we look at, in fact, if you look at, we got five icons at the bottom there, and that's kind of like, well, we really need to take a look at that and make a quick, easy, convenient icon for individuals to get to the grid, to the Transparency Sunshine page, to a couple
open
of those.
Checkbook.
Yep. Instead of it, otherwise people aren't going to read all that little text and finally find it at the bottom right corner of one of those things.
Okay.
So make it obvious, make it easy.
Kind of a next step to kind of blow it out a little bit and give a little bit better visibility on the homepage.
Exactly.
Okay. Anything else, commissioners?
So ETA, then you said is within a couple of weeks for the kind of online checkbook to be ready, and then other aspects of the transparency page. Are there other aspects of it that are not live, or is it all live?
This is all live. These are all links, basically, to reports that are available or pages within departments that have the reports that people are interested in. So, for instance, it would go to the financial reports. And you can see the trends report is already out there for 2012.
Can you go back one?
Sure.
So is our grid on this?
Not yet.
Okay. It should be.
Yes.
Yep.
It will be.
And we'll make it in like a different color or something so it'll stand out.
If you take a look at the address bar up there, one thing I like what you've got there is you're using easy to remember, easy to navigate names rather than some of the standard generation names that are kind of automatically generated that you're just going to go very long, very hard to type in. So you're using English-like short words up there appended to our normal home address.
Well, and again, those are some of the criteria that when you look at the Sunshine standards. They want user-friendly, easier to understand information.
And we quantify. We take. We have a clicker that shows how many hits on each page, right? So we'll be able to see, like, all right, are people hitting it or not?
Sure.
Okay. Good.
Right. In addition, we can build on that. This particular home landing page has a nice short brief address. But if you click to each one of those links, what you might find out is that some of those have these name that you're never going to type, and it would be in it, so you don't want to break a link, but one of the things that can be done in addition is to provide a redundant link that also navigates to that page that is short and concise and very much related to the title that you're clicking to here. So that's something that the PI or that the our applications IT guys can come up with to make sure that we migrate in a way of easy to navigate. If ever you want to promote any one of these things, you can put together a flyer and there's the address, and it doesn't have to be this long thing that people are going to mistype.
You're getting out of my area of expertise, but we can encourage those things. I've heard the message.
Great.
And so is everyone here. So.
Yeah. No. Great.
We'll keep moving forward. And again, this is, again, this is not an ends. This is just a, probably more of a beginning. It's a, an initial product, and it will continue to evolve and improve. And, you know, I think that it's a step in the right direction.
And I like that you are talking to Marty and his shop and to others to be able to see how can we, you know, use this tool, use these kinds of tools in other areas of what we do as well. And that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, great job. Great job.
Well, again, I want to give a lot of thanks. Thomas head up the project from our office, as well as Sarah and Sue Lloyd.
Cool.
Well,
we'll look forward to playing around with it once it goes live.
And all in-house.
You'll be spending all your time on the website, Commissioner.
I hope so.
We already do.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for all your work on this. Great.
All right. Thank you.
It's on a, that was the original. It's up to about 8.
Yeah.
It's 8, but 4 of that is assigned items that have joined the and some of that we have. So the 4 million is what's left over in the time side. But again, that's the flagship.
We're breaking even this year.
We're breaking even.
So what do you think? So if you follow that logic, assuming both years are equal, we'd have a $2 million deficit next year.
Plus
all the other stuff that's.
Yeah.
can always issue 7-year bonds.
Well,
nice.
Well, that's
great.
We're not going to be able to do it now.
That was my, you know, I was talking to